You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. We wanted to take a deeper look now at an issue that's been a big focus in this presidential campaign on both sides, and that is global trade. It's emotional, complicated, and really resonates with people. If you look at exit polls from this week's New York primary, for example, 43% of Democrats told CNN that trade costs jobs, and only 37% said it creates them. And on the GOP side, Donald Trump has made trade, particularly with China, a centerpiece of his campaign. To unpack this and look at the economics behind the rhetoric and demystify it, we turn to our own in-house expert, Tracy Samuelson, who covers trade for Marketplace. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Lizzie.
Why is trade such a compelling and resonant issue on both sides of the aisle right now, do you think?
Trade is always an issue during elections, but this year I think it's building on a lot of frustration from a lot of blue-collar workers, perhaps, who have had a rough couple of decades.
Yeah, and stagnant incomes, stagnant wages.
Stagnant incomes, you know, and are looking at our country's huge trade deficits and thinking that is money flowing out of the U.S., flowing away from me.
A lot of the conversation, I would say, in the past 20 years or so, there has been something of an orthodoxy among economists that, on balance, global trade was a positive thing. Has that changed now? And if so, how?
Yeah, so the sort of classic argument is there are winners and losers in trade, but the winners outnumber the losers. And I think you will find most economists still support that idea. What you're seeing is some recognition that we've sort of underestimated just how acute the impacts of trade might be for those losers and how prolonged it might be.
Do you see a conversation also about, okay, well, it certainly could mean that jobs have been offshored somewhere. On the other hand, that also probably means that I might have a smartphone or my kids can buy T-shirts at a lower cost. All of the other things that fit into that picture. Do people's minds display kind of malleability about that or not?
Yeah, it's funny because if you, you know, think about people and their love of the iPhone, like they're not like, oh, thanks, trade. You know, I've benefit. This is a benefit of trade. Whereas if someone loses their job due to increased competition abroad, like that is, you're like, hey, that is
yeah.
a very specific thing that I am feeling in my life. The benefits are much more diffuse. But I should also say that when if you look at polls, I mean, so there is a very vocal opposition to trade and trade agreements right now. But if you look at polls, like we have a recent poll from Gallup, and they've been tracking this question for a very long time, I think since the early 90s, how do Americans feel about trade? So as of February, 58% of Americans view foreign trade as an opportunity for economic growth versus 34% who see it as a threat to the economy.
So it's still in the positive.
So it's still in the positive, and it has been since about 2013. Now, Bloomberg did a similar poll but asked the question a slightly different way, and they sort of saw the opposite results. I think that gets to just how confusing this is for people, the benefits versus the costs. You know, in a marketplace, we did our own poll, and the first question we asked people was, do you think a trade is good for the American economy or bad for the American economy, or you don't know enough to say? And half of respondents said, I don't know enough to say.
You spent some time with Michael Froman, the U.S. Trade Representative, as he's been sort of going around, I guess you could say, what, stumping for these trade agreements that the administration is trying
to build support.
What was that like, and what did you find?
So he's the guy who goes out and negotiates trade agreements. And, you know, I spent this very long day with him, and at the end, you know, we're in the car kind of finally wrapping up. And I asked him about how you change people's minds on a topic like this, because it is, as we've been saying, so kind of emotional and confusing. And this was his answer.
We're not going to be able to change everybody's minds, and that's not our goal. It's not what's necessary. I hope that people who have an open mind to the facts, to what's actually in the agreement, will take the time to learn that, to ask questions, to press us on the issues that are of concern to them and let us answer the concerns that they have and then come to their judgment. If you have already made up a decision and are closed-minded about it, then there's unfortunately, not much opportunity to have a real dialogue.
That's just amazing tape to me because he's the guy, right? He's the persuader, and yet he's admitting people have really calcified opinions about this stuff.
Yeah, and I think he's really hopeful that there are a lot of people who are going to come to this agreement and try and evaluate it on its merits. But the administration also has been really vocal about trying to convince people that this isn't a previous trade agreement, right? Like President Obama has said that, you know, previous trade agreements maybe didn't live up to the hype. And so they're trying to get people to look at this with fresh eyes, but people really have this sort of like, if you say NAFTA to someone, that means something very specific, and a lot of people will come to that with kind of negative connotations.
Looking ahead, because there is this varied and really vibrant, in many ways, conversation about trade that's happening right now in this election season, do you think that changes the calculus for the Obama administration in trying to move the TPP forward?
Yeah, I think it's made it a lot harder. You know, I think it makes it harder for any member of Congress to say, I support this agreement, or to talk about moving forward with a vote. I don't think anybody thinks that a vote now is going to happen before the elections. And it's whether or not it happens after the elections. So, all the leading candidates right now, none of them support the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson, who covers trade for us. Thank you, Tracy.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Economic populism, no matter how you define it, is a big theme in this campaign year, and it's one we're going to continue to examine as we move toward November.